on this episode of RevHang.
Lando Norris did a Lando Norris and dropped three positions on the start after starting in pole position. It's so predictable now.
Which financially, not the best decision. Definitely buy things that aren't running and make them running. Don't buy things that are running and make them not running.
Hey, it's been a while since we've had some bad press. Let's get on that. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of RevHang. It's been a while. I'm Nathan, and alongside me, virtually as always, is my good friend and co-host and former chess player buddy, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing good. Is this a new thing? We're just going to try to find a different thing that I've done to say, to introduce me by?
You've done a lot of things, man.
So former Ford Taurus owner, Ben Bagley.
Yes. Speaking of former cars, did I see that you got rid of the Power Wagon?
Yes. Well, I'd like to clarify. It was never a Power Wagon. It was a Frankenstein's monster of a W200 from 1974 on M135 GM troop carrier axles, a deuce and a half. And yeah, it was running when I bought it. Which financially, not the best decision. Definitely buy things that aren't running and make them running. Don't buy things that are running and make them not running. It was running for about a day when I bought it, and then the clutch blew up when I drove it the day after I got it. And then...
Doing burnouts? Doing burnouts?
Oh, yeah, loads of burnouts. So definitely I didn't just burn out when I was going down a hill in second gear.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So I sold it for quite a considerable loss because the engine had a main gasket or a rear main seal go. And I don't have an engine stand, let alone an engine stand tall enough to pull the motor out of a truck that is literally twice my height.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. But it's a lot less stress to not have to worry about when I'm going to try to work on it and having space for it. So I'm on to bigger and better things. I've got my eye on a few cheap cars from the 90s for autocross. Who knows? Maybe if I save my pennies properly, there's a cool autocross car or a cool classic car for me in the future. But that's a ways off. I got a motorcycle. I got a house. Got yard work. Plenty of other stuff to keep me busy for now.
There you go. If you do autocross, highly recommend get yourself an RX-8.
I'm not...
Bridgeport it. And then annoy everybody at the meet.
No. First of all, this could be an entirely another podcast. In a completely serious note, Nathan and Ben's project cars that they want to get and won't. I saw for like $1,700 on Craigslist. It had 190,000 miles on it, but it was a 2002 Ford Escort ZX2 with the FASB manual and the little ZTEC, I think is what they called it, 1.3 or 1.8, made like 130 horsepower. And like, that would be sick.
That would be pretty cool, yeah. Anyways, this is not an autocross cars possibility, wasting money on Money Pits podcast, although that would be fun.
Money Pits a great name. Somebody should use that.
Yeah, we'll trademark that before someone takes it. This is a racing podcast, so we've got some Formula One to talk about this week. Let's dive right into it with some paddock news to start off. Big news, Haas has partnered with Toyota GR for the upcoming season/seasons. I don't really know the intricate details of the contract, but Gazoo Racing, branch of Toyota, very prestigious. They have won Le Mans. They have won almost everything. And they decided to partner with a winning team, Haas F1.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Toyota had such a prestigious record in F1 already that they just wanted to add to it.
Right. Not sure what this means for the immediate future, other than I know that they are going to give each other technical advice. I'm sure Haas can take some advice from Toyota and probably vice versa. The big exciting thing that this kind of signals to me is that Toyota does have interest in F1. There's new engines coming to the grid in 2028 in terms of suppliers. Well, 26 first, but then 2028 is like the next big window. So who knows? Maybe Toyota ends up buying out Haas and we have a Toyota F1 team again.
Because
that went
cool.
really well last time.
Yeah. Hey, second time's the charm.
Yeah, exactly. Probably like fourth time by now. But anyway, that would be cool. Now they've got GR. They did not have GR back then. So maybe big things in the future. I can't really see Haas around for much longer, but I've been saying that since 2020. So
yeah. Hey, maybe this is the big cash infusion they need to really get serious about it.
Maybe. Who knows? in other news.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, in other news, slightly less popular news. Daniel Ricciardo was replaced by Liam Lawson for the remainder of the season at RB, and every F1 fan loved that decision and how it played out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly nobody wrote hate mail to Liam Lawson after that decision.
Not at all. No, it was handled beautifully. Daniel Ricciardo got a proper send-off. Everybody clearly loved him. There's no bad blood at Red Bull, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And everything is good.
Everybody also agrees on exactly when Daniel Ricciardo was told that the signing happened and the switchover was going to happen. Yes. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody agrees that he was told with a lot of time before, or maybe not a lot of time before. But everybody agrees, and that's the important part.
Yes, everybody agrees. Of course, we were being sarcastic. As it went down, Daniel Ricciardo was probably most likely told right before the Singapore Grand Prix that it would be his last.
AKA about a month after Liam Lawson was told, allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. They basically didn't do anything other than say, "See you later, Daniel. It was nice having you." There was no big event or anything like most drivers get. So kind of a bummer for his career to end that way. I'm sure that's the end of his career. I can't imagine another team picking him up. Poor guy. He's probably, I mean, this is obviously not how he wanted it to go, but he is kind of, I mean, he was definitely older, not as good as he used to be. He definitely peaked in like 2016-ish. Kind of went downhill from there after he left Red Bull. So
yeah, sport kind of changed around him for sure.
Yeah, for sure. With this new generation coming in, he just kind of got outpaced. But anyway, let's move on to the Formula One United States Grand Prix. This was a sprint weekend, which everybody forgot until sprint qualifying.
It was such a long break that I not only forgot that sprints existed, I almost forgot that we had a podcast about them.
Yeah. It has been a long time since the last episode.
Yeah.
In fact, I almost forgot to do the Daniel Ricciardo news because that feels like it was 5 years ago that happened.
Yeah.
Not after the last race. So.
Yeah, more like 5 weeks.
We're back, though. We're back.
Yeah.
It is the end of October. There are 5-ish races left somewhere in that ballpark.
Six.
That was six including this one.
Oh, yeah.
But let's jump into sprint qualifying. We'll give you the top 10 for context. In first place on pole position was Max Verstappen, followed by George Russell and Charles Leclerc. Fourth and fifth were Norris and Sainz. 6 through 10 were Hulkenberg, Hamilton, Magnussen, Tsunoda, and Colapinto. Haas boys in sixth and eighth. Great showing in qualifying.
As usual.
Yep. Moving into the race, Verstappen maintained the lead into turn one, and Lando was able to jump up to second at turn one. Sainz and Leclerc battled for position in the early stages of the race, and Russell dropped through the field after his tires went off. Sainz was able to pass Lando out in the last lap of the race, and that was kind of it. Not the most exciting sprint race. Lots of sprint races are not exciting.
Yeah.
So, the results of the sprint race, we had Max win it, followed by Sainz and Lando. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Russell. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Magnussen, Hulkenberg, Perez, and Piastri. 11 through 15, we had Sonoda, Colapinto, Stroll, Gasly, and Ocon. 16 through 20, we had Lawson, Albon, Alonso, Zhou, and Bottas.
Haas right. is looking much more reasonable now.
You know, I was just shopping for hot sauces right before we got on this call.
Yeah, I think I missed the window to make my own custom hot sauce for you, but I'll find a good one.
Okay, yeah, we gotta agree on a hot sauce, because it's still possible that you could take the shot. All Sauber has to do is score 1 point.
All they have to do is score 1 point. How hard could it be?
Considering they end 19th and 20th every week, there's a chance. There's a chance. A non-zero mm-hmm. chance. I just need the top 10 drivers to DNF.
They just need a hungry moment. That's all it takes.
Exactly. All right, moving into qualifying for the race, we had Norris on pole, followed by Verstappen and Sainz. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Piastri. 6 through 10 were Gasly, Alonso, Magnussen, Perez, and Tsunoda. Good stuff. Notably, Lewis Hamilton qualified 18th and started 17th, and George Russell crashed at the end of qualifying, had to rebuild his car, and started from the pit lane. Also, Liam Lawson had a 60-place grid penalty for changing engine parts.
He's starting back. I think somebody did the math. He started back in, I don't remember what race it was. It was a lot of races ago, though. It was like Baku or something.
Yeah. All right. So, going into the race, Verstappen and Norris tangled in turn one, allowing Leclerc to take the lead and Sainz into P3 with Verstappen in second and Lando in fourth. Lando Norris did a Lando Norris and dropped 3 positions on the start after starting in pole position. It's so predictable now. Moving
McLaren
on,
fans
Hamilton.
Gotta have something to complain about.
Yeah, well, we're good at that. Especially when we have a good car.
Don't even get me started talking about Oscar Piastri, that son of a gun.
That guy. Hamilton spun out and beached himself on lap 3, causing a safety car, the first one in forever. Lawson made his way through the field quickly in the early stages. Several drivers got penalties for forcing other drivers off the track. More on that later. Colapinto made progress through the field and fought for points. Sainz undercut Verstappen. The McLarens went long and had a pretty sizable tire advantage at the end of the race. Norris caught and battled Verstappen, passing him on lap 52, but apparently he overtook off the track, getting himself a 5-second penalty. Good stuff. And that was kind of the race. It was a good race. It's short review. Like, a lot happened, but not a lot happened.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a lot of the same thing happened.
Yes.
Makes it much easier to talk about.
Into turn 15.
Yeah.
All right. Results of the race. Winning the race was Charles Leclerc by a country mile, followed by Carlos Sainz and Max Verstappen. Notably, Norris finished third, but then had a 5-second penalty that dropped him to fourth. Fifth was Oscar Piastri. 6 through 10 was Russell, Perez, Hulkenberg, Lawson, and Colapinto, both the rookies finishing in the points. 11 through 15 was Magnussen, Gasly, Alonso, Tsunoda, and Stroll. 16 through 19 were Albon, Bottas, Ocon, and Zhou. And then our DNF was Lewis Hamilton.
Albon all the way down in 16th with Colapinto rounding out the points finishes. Very entertaining.
It's been pretty crazy that Colapinto has, since he has started in that team, been comprehensively better than Albon.
The number of drivers he's been comprehensively better than has been very impressive to watch, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. And if Sauber doesn't sign him next season, they messed up.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a Nyck de Vries situation where he had a great race and then gets signed because of it. He's now had 4 races and done well in all of them, and better than Alex Albon in all of them. And Albon he just did his 100th race this week. So,
yeah.
Colapinto deserves a seat, and there's no question in my mind about that.
Yep. As much as it wounds my pride as an American to say it. Yeah. He for sure does.
Williams made the right choice.
Yep.
And I think if they could do it all over again, they would assign him instead of science. But that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Yep.
There are two open positions currently, and that would be with Sauber and RB. And I could definitely see Helmut Marko feeling warm and fuzzy inside when watching Colapinto and saying, hey, I know we have this list of 30 qualified reserve drivers in our development program, we're going to shaft all of them and go for this guy who was not in our development program.
Helmut Marko's like, oh, we should have another guy from South America on the team.
This will be our ticket out of Perez. So no one can call us names.
Yeah, and in my defense is Helmut Marko, who said that Perez was from South America.
Yes, I forgot about that. I see what you did there with that reference.
Maybe a little too deep, maybe a little too controversial. I don't know.
I don't know. That was reaching back. Like, I hadn't thought about that in a while. That was last year, I think.
Was it
this year? It might have been this.
It's been such a long racing season.
I seem to recall when I read that news, it was warm and sunny outside. So I think it might have been in the spring. But so much has happened this year. It's been honestly an actually crazy season in F1, and I'm loving it.
It did start out crazy, and it has gotten progressively more and more unbelievable as it's gone along.
Yeah, for sure. This has been definitely a very good season. Not on par with 2021, but I don't know what could be. That was the greatest season ever. But anyway, this is definitely the best one since 2021, and I'm still loving it. And honestly, for new fans, this is probably the perfect season.
Yeah.
Because you got tons of drivers who can win.
Yeah, I will say the first part of the 2022 season was also very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, before Ferrari did Ferrari things, yeah.
Yeah, when the Red Bull could explode at any time and Ferrari was Ferrari, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Lando got a penalty on the last lap. He passed Verstappen with 5 laps left off the track. That is true. That is an accurate statement. However, they both braked into the corner. I guess Verstappen was technically ahead of the apex, but it was a dive bomb. And, I mean, Lando
really
had no time to react,
apex,
really.
Though?
Yeah, that's one of the things, too, is it's such, like, whoever's ahead of the apex, that's such a vague term. There's no one point, really. It depends on the corner. It's there's a lot of things. But anyway, Verstappen dove down the inside, missed the corner, shoved Lando out wide. If Lando maintained his line and actually made the corner, he would have ran into Verstappen. Or Verstappen would have ran into him, I should say.
Yeah.
Neither driver actually made the corner. They both went off, 4 wheels off the track. Verstappen was able to get on the power earlier and pass Verstappen as a result of that. But then Lando got a penalty for overtaking outside the track, even though neither driver actually made the corner. Pretty much the opposite of what happened in Brazil in 2021 with Lewis and Max. The FIA is so inconsistent. It's actually very upsetting. Like, Ben and I were talking about this earlier that all the penalties that drivers got during the race for forcing drivers off the track or overtaking outside the track, that all was happening during the sprint race, but nobody got a penalty for it during the sprint race.
Because the sprint races are so much more exciting. They're supposed to be that way.
Right. It's like, I'm all for rules being enforced strictly, but you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
You can't just change, because it seems like there's a few races like this every season where it's like rules are enforced to the letter and the stewards are just ruthless, and then all the other races it's just like, let them race. Like Austria is notorious for track limits, and Qatar is notorious for track limits, and you know, Silverstone's notorious for really questionable driving penalty decisions. And it's just like, did I say Singapore? I meant Silverstone. If I said Singapore,
No,
I don't remember.
you said Silverstone.
Okay, well,
You're
that's
good.
what I meant.
You're
I
locked
said
in.
what I meant, and I meant what I said. But personally, I don't. It's a tough one because, yes, Lando overtook off the track, but it's because another driver forced him to leave the track, and the other driver didn't even make the corner. So, to me, then after that, whatever happens, happens. And honestly, if Verstappen maintained the lead after doing that, he should have gotten a penalty for forcing another driver off the track, because that's what had happened every single time before that in that same race. Anyway, I'm ranting. I know McLaren fans are with me and pretty much nobody else, but
No, we're only at 20 minutes. You still got another 10 minutes if you want to go for
got time.
it.
But anyway, I'm upset at the inconsistency displayed by the FIA stewards, and that's that.
Yeah, it would
But
it almost 'cause okay, every at the start of every year, the FIA says, okay, we know that there are problems with enforcing rules and things like that during races. So here are the changes we're making. Then nothing changes. And then they're like, okay, well, this year we're changing all these things to make sure everything's good. And everything is not good.
no,
And
everything is not good.
everything, I think, will continue to be not good next year. And there is nothing anybody can do about it. And everything is
Yep.
bad. I don't have a solution, I just wanted to say.
Yeah. And then they do these stupid, like, mid-season rule changes that make no sense and nobody really wants, other than, like, whoever pays the bills, I guess.
Ben
Like, the
Samaya.
whole swearing thing. No one's had an issue with it until 2 weeks ago or a month ago in Singapore, and like, it's just so stupid. Like, swear, that's a part of Formula One. That's a part of racing. You think they're gonna come out and do that at NASCAR? No shot. No shot.
Could you
NASCAR
imagine?
swearing is safe. Yeah. That's not it, like racing, that it gets heated. Drivers are expressing their emotions in the car. No one's going to be thinking about, oh, I shouldn't swear because ESPN doesn't like that, or Sky Sports doesn't like that. And it's just, there's no need for it.
I would almost expect NASCAR or IndyCar to be more on top of that because, you know, it's like, oh, good old conservative American values. We can't have cursing in front of the kids. And the fact that they're not worried about it, and you hear way more of their radio than you do F1. I mean, IndyCar radio, you have chatter going on in the background all the time. And same for NASCAR.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem there. So if it's not a problem for our good old American values and our innocent sheltered children's ears, then like maybe it's not
Yeah.
a problem.
I know it's such a non-issue, and it's just gonna create problems for the drivers. And it's like, it's one thing, I get it, if you say, please don't swear during interviews, don't swear in the cool down room. I understand that, and if they implemented fines or whatever for that, I'd be fine with that because it's a live interview. You don't have time to bleep out the swear word. You can't have that on network television. I get it. It's NASCAR, IndyCar, it's the same way. But when you're talking about penalizing drivers for swearing on the team radio during the race while they're battling other drivers, when you do have time to bleep it out, or, oh, I don't know, just don't air it on TV
Yeah.
when they do swear.
You already cut out so much of the radio that they say. Like, is it that much more work to cut out other parts of it too?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally, instead of even having the stars and the beep, you either mute that part so you can still understand all the rest of the words they're saying, or just select that part of the audio and control X, and like, it fixes the problem. There's so many ways around this. They
Most of
could
their
get what they
radios are
want
so bad
without.
already, they could even just transcribe it as a different word, honestly.
Yeah. I mean,
Like
half the time they
Verstappen's
don't
radio,
even.
we just put something else in there.
Yeah. Half the time they don't even play the audio. They just like write stuff, write words on the side of the screen so you can read what they're saying.
I
You
have
could
noticed they
so
started doing
easily
that
do that.
more. Is it just
I wonder
me?
If that's the reason why. I haven't noticed it increasing. They've been doing that since I started watching, but I mean maybe a little bit more in recent years.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was noticing the frequency of just the words coming up on the screen more frequently.
But honestly, I don't mind that. If I hear less radios, if they cut out all the radio, the audio with swearing, and then just put in its place, because a lot of the time the audio is partially what tells the story of a race.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut that out and transcribe it and rewrite it in a way that's not got bad language. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But
no, but that's literally 1984, Nathan.
Okay. down with Big Brother. I just don't think you can control the drivers like this. Like, Max has community service he has to do now because he swore on the radio. Like, it's so dumb. And they've got way bigger problems than drivers swearing. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. They've got to figure out how to run their sport properly and efficiently without controversy, because it's just always controversy surrounding the FIA. They get out of something, people forget, and then they're like, hey, it's been a while since we've had some bad press. Let's get on that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. More ranting. It's the ranting episode. Yeah. It's been a month. I gotta get it all out of my system.
Yeah, they need to learn from Penske. Penske only gets bad press in the news when they really cheat at something and get found out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you never hear about them. Well, like for this year, we've heard about them 3 times because there's been 3 instances of them like cheating and winning, and so you heard about them. And the rest of the time, you don't really.
Yeah. Exactly. Moving on, championship battle is basically over.
God, we're only on the second bullet point. That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, right. that first bullet point
took 10
minutes.
We made it way further with that.
Max Verstappen has a 57-point lead in the championship with 5 races to go. While technically still very possible for Lando to win, it's going to take a minor miracle. even at this point with the Verstappen DNF and a Lando win, he's still behind by over a full race win, and the odds of that happening twice are so low that I don't know. And it seems like Red Bull, they brought upgrades to the US and they seem to have helped immensely. The Red Bull's much faster this week than it has been in previous weeks, but who knows if that's just the track. I know McLaren said that this wasn't their track and that the car was slower because of that. I don't know why. They said it was a lot of, I mean, possibly slow speed corners, heavy braking zones. So, I mean, we've got Qatar is probably a track they'll be good at because it's a lot of fast corners. Mexico is going to be tough. There's a lot of hairpins and sharp angled turns. They might do well in Brazil. That's a pretty flowy track. I don't know. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the season, but
Vegas? That's pretty...
Vegas is going to be... That's a lot of straights and heavy braking zones.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where things are going to sit moving towards the end of the season, but, I mean, it's going to be super tough for Lando to make up a 57-point gap in 5 races.
But not impossible.
Not impossible. I mean, technically, Charles Leclerc could still win, I think. I mean, theoretically, Oscar Piastri, I think, is still in the running. Carlos Sainz, I think, is officially out. It's close, though.
Yeah.
But this is not an IndyCar. There can't be major point swings like that.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. But we'll see what happens. Maybe Lando... We'll get a pretty good battle between Lando and Leclerc, I think, towards the end of the year. Ferrari's been really quick, and Leclerc is only 22 points behind Norris in the standings, so that might be the battle to watch.
Yeah. The Constructors' Championship is really the battle to watch between the top 3 teams, though.
Yeah, for sure. Lawson killed it this week. Colapinto is continuing to kill it this week. Really great young drivers, fun to watch. especially Colapinto, he's just, the guy is so aggressive and he makes it work every time. Reminds me of a young Max Verstappen. So we'll see. I mean, I guess I can't compare him to Verstappen after four races, but definitely looks like he's not just trying to stay in the sport, but more like trying to get results.
Yeah, see how long his name will stay in the sport. See how long people will talk. How long people will be talking about him after he leaves.
Yeah, for sure. If he doesn't get a seat this year, and then doesn't get a seat in 26, something has gone horribly wrong. But we will see how that all goes. And then our last bullet point here, Charles Leclerc is surging in points. Like we said, he is getting close to Lando in second place. And the battle for the Constructors' Championship is heating up. Leclerc's been on a hot streak recently and continues that with this win.
The fact that Leclerc has a chance at winning championship, however astronomical it may be, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of funny to think about Leclerc coming out of nowhere to win it.
It's Ferrari, it's not going to happen.
Hey, their strategy's actually been surprisingly good the past however many races.
This is true. But you know what's going to happen is Leclerc will go off, tie Max Verstappen going into Abu Dhabi, and then DNF because of a machined wheel nut or something. it's got to happen. All right, let's move into the standings. Verstappen still in the lead, of course, followed by Norris and Leclerc. Fourth and fifth are Piastri and Sainz. Then way back, we've got Hamilton, Russell, Perez, Alonso, and Hulkenberg running off the top 10. We have Liam Lawson, who just joined the sport this year. He is in 20th place with 2 points, and three drivers behind him, including Zhou Guan Yu in 21st, Logan Sargeant in 22nd, and our main man, the mullet himself, Valtteri Bottas, in 23rd place out of 20 cars.
Poor guy.
This guy cannot catch a break. Every time a new rookie joins the sport, he gets one bumped place down another spot. Yeah.
The fact that Logan Sargeant is still technically ahead of him, too.
Yeah, it's heart-wrenching for sure. Mm,
yeah.
All right, so moving into Constructors, McLaren has a 40-point lead over Red Bull, and Ferrari is now only 8 points behind Red Bull in P2. Mercedes is quite a ways back in P4, and then P5 is Aston Martin, 6 through 10. Our Haas, RB, Williams, Alpine, and Sauber. Crazy to me that Alpine still only has 13 points. It seemed like they were making strides at the middle point of the season. Of course, they were the worst car at the beginning of the year. But their progress seems to have stalled a little bit. So now it's going to be Alpine versus Williams for that eighth and ninth spot. Haas versus RB for P6.
That's actually pretty cool that Haas is a fighting chance at P6.
That is cool. Definitely steps forward. They've been a lot better this year.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder how much Günther Steiner had to do with all the problems.
Surely not. Sure.
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
They have made steps forward this year. Aston Martin's on an island in fifth place, and Mercedes is on an island in fourth, so they will probably finish in those places respectively. And then the battle for the lead is the one to watch. It is still possible for Red Bull to win the championship. Still possible for Ferrari to win the championship. Wouldn't that be nuts?
That would be crazy.
So Italy, we'll see what happens. Burn.
For sure.
We'll see. Yeah. All right, let's move into the pit stop championship. In first place was Lando Norris this week with a time of 2.21 seconds, followed by Perez and Lawson. Fourth and fifth were Ocon and Leclerc. Sixth through 10 were Magnussen, Tsunoda, Sainz, Piastri, and Alonso. Standings have not changed. Perez is still way out in front, and Red Bull is still way out in front. Overtake of the week. I gave this one to Esteban Ocon for his overtake on Fernando Alonso and Liam Lawson during the sprint race. very opportunistic overtake. Those two, Alonso and Lawson, were battling each other, and Ocon just drove through the middle of them and was like, thank you very much.
Hey, this is neat. It's been a while since I've been able to do this.
It actually, it was pretty clean, though, the way he cut through both of them while they were battling each other. It was pretty sweet. So
yeah,
that's why I give it to Esteban. Let's go into our predictions for last week.
What was a bloodbath?
It was bad. It was bad. It was really bad. Remind everybody of the top five. It was Leclerc, Sainz, Verstappen, Norris, and Piastri. Give me your top five, Ben.
I had Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Hamilton, Piastri in fifth. I got that one, and Hülkenberg was my dark horse. Really letting me down on that one.
He did indeed. I had Norris, Piastri, Russell, Leclerc, and Hamilton with Colapinto as my dark horse. I did not get any of them right. Nowhere close. I had Verstappen outside the top five, and that did not happen.
Yeah. No, that was... We were both really off this week.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird one, but...
I guess that's a good thing. Unpredictable.
For sure. I mean, it's kind of crazy what happens when teams have a month to work on their car without having to worry about logistics.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that had something to do with it. All right. Fastest lap. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Hamilton for fastest lap.
And I had Lawson. And let me just say, I predicted Lawson before the news of Lawson to RB was even confirmed.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I'm going to take that as a small win.
The pre-move is crazy.
Yeah. Chess terminology right there for you. All right. Fastest lap went to Ocon, so neither of us got that right. Driver of the day, what did you say, Ben?
It was Leclerc.
Yep, it was Leclerc. I said Colapinto, so I got that one wrong.
Wow, you went all in on Colapinto, didn't you?
With Dark Horse and Driver of the Day, yeah. But, I mean, he did well.
He did really well, yeah.
All right, let's move into our predictions for next week at the Mexican Grand Prix. Give me your top five in Dark Horse, Ben.
So I've got Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, Sainz, and Piastri, which, wait, did I put that for last? No, okay, that's a little bit different from what I last put. I just want to make sure. I've got Gasly as my Dark Horse.
Nice. I have Sainz, Leclerc, Piastri, Verstappen, and Norris. With Lawson as my dark horse.
It's very interesting that you put Sainz ahead of Leclerc.
I don't know if there's a particular reason why, other than Sainz has been pretty pretty racy the last couple times.
Fair.
So
fair.
It's a pretty straightforward track too. It's not too difficult. Why not?
Why not?
Why not Sainz?
Mix it up.
Yeah. So I think Ferrari's going to have a big advantage. They seem to be really good in a straight line. And, of course, Mexico has one of the longest, if not the longest, straights on the calendar. High elevation means low drag. It means engines become even more crucial. And all that good stuff. Aero's not going to have as much of an effect, meaning I don't think... Mercedes or McLaren will do particularly well. I guess I do have Piastri in third, Norris in fifth, but I would normally have them much higher at another track.
Yeah, you got to cover off.
So I think it's going to be a Ferrari show again this week. And then I sprinkled Verstappen in there because I learned my lesson last time. All right. Fastest lap. What do you got?
I'm going to say Norris for this one.
I said Piastri after saying McLarens. That McLaren would suck. Both have a McLaren for fastest lap. And driver of the day, what do you got?
Leclerc. Again.
I have Sainz. So Ferraris and McLarens doing well, hopefully.
Yep.
Hopefully McLarens, particularly. we'll see, though. All right. Let's move on to Ben's words of wisdom. What do you got for us this week, Ben?
It's a pretty simple one this week. I know I've been pretty niche recently, but just, you know. Phones are expensive. I was really thinking about that because I kept on seeing YouTube videos of tech reviewers talking about a new phone from, was it Xiaomi, I think is what it's called? Came out with a tri-fold folding phone that folds out two times to have essentially three smartphone-sized screens next to each other. And it's like $2,800. And I was thinking, it's like, man, imagine having to pay for a battery replacement, that thing. So like, phone battery care is not that difficult to do. And there's a lot of like good tools for it. You can get like outside apps if your phone doesn't have it. Or a lot of manufacturers, even Apple, build in, you know, like battery management tools to help save your battery percentage, you know, only charge until like 85% at night, save a little bit of capacity, and only slow charging at night, not using fast chargers unless you're really in a hurry, that kind of thing. Saves you a little bit of money, especially if you're one of those people who's not, you know, super like technically inclined and can't do a phone battery replacement on their own, which is a lot of people. It's not very common to be able to do that. So can save you a bunch of money, keeps them out of the landfills.
For sure. And a little pro tip I actually learned today. If you have a Samsung device, there's a setting in there where you can enable power sharing. And if you find another person with another Samsung device, if you put the backs of the phones together, they can share charge. And so one will drain and the other one will fill up.
What if I told you that feature has been on every Android for the most part, like top-end Android for like the past couple of years?
I knew this, but I kind of actually just figured this out for myself.
It's pretty cool, right?
It is pretty cool. I've never done it, though.
It's really nice for smaller batteries like earbuds and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, though. So I thought I'd just throw that out there.
No, it's super cool. You're right.
It'd be great for like a Galaxy Watch or whatever.
Yeah, except the new Galaxy Watches, they changed the sensor modules on the back, so you can't do that.
Well, that's too bad.
Ask me how I know.
How do you know, Ben?
I got one and I tried charging it and it does not.
That is a shame.
I even have an S22 Ultra. So like if anything was going to work, it'd be that. It does not. So
yeah.
RIP. You got to use the charging cradle that comes with it.
RIP indeed. Oh, you mean the one that you lose always and then you can't really get another one easily because it's proprietary and only one type of charger will actually charge
it? Hey, I'm really good at it. And actually it's not that it doesn't work on wireless charging at all. Like, it works on... Samsung makes, like, those wireless chargers that have little watch divots in them. And it works fine on that. But on the back of the phone itself, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't really work for me.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Rev Hang. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listen on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing, which there's not a lot left from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question in the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Mexican Grand Prix, but until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.